Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to talk in this episode about major life stress. There is a lot of life stress going around right now. If it weren't for COVID-19 and a pandemic and some significant serious events in the country of the United States, there are also currently some pretty intense situations with some protests, but also some riots with a lot of different causes and a lot of things behind them. We all need a sense of clarity to be able to see things clearly, but also anyone who has felt that their voice isn't heard or they don't have a place in whatever it is that we're looking at, whether it's society, a culture, the political system, etc., definitely needs a place to be heard. In all of this, there is a significant amount of stress that may be impacting you. And I want to talk about stress a little bit today because there are some really interesting things out there available to us that help us put this in perspective. The brain, of course, puts stress and input and all kinds of things through a filter of our own assumptions, our own thoughts, our own experiences. And many times we might actually downplay our stress or diminish it or minimize it, not realizing how it's impacting us physiologically, that maybe it's causing us some trouble. I noticed myself, for example, just thinking about pandemic-related things, I was looking at my Fitbit tracker, which actually tracks my resting heart rate. It tracks the amount of sleep I get and many other things. And I noticed that my resting heart rate was significantly elevated from the time the pandemic was initially declared, and only just a couple of days ago started to go back down a little bit as things relaxed. It's up a little bit more today, but I'm doing my best to calm, to do those things that give me time to rejuvenate and to restore. I hope you're doing that too, because your wellness is really important so that you can think clearly, so that you can get through the big challenges that are facing you, and also manage difficult emotions. Managing our emotions is a really big area that we don't always talk a lot about. I don't know if you were ever influenced by the ideas that we should just deal with things, hide our emotions, stuff our emotions, keep them to ourselves. But many of us have been impacted with those kinds of philosophies or taught those things. Doing that makes our emotions difficult to feel. It can detach us from our emotions. It can increase our stress, can actually cause some physical trauma. And in a way, really, this disconnects us from ourselves completely. So we're not really sure, what do we think, what do we feel, because we might have a habit of disconnecting from what we feel. So I'm going to share two things today. The first one is a little inventory, a social readjustment rating scale that is the Holmes-Rahe Life Stress Inventory. I might be mispronouncing that, not sure. But it lists a lot of things that bring different kinds of stress into our lives. And I'm going to just read these to make you aware of what kinds of things can actually bring stress. And of course, we all know what's going on in the world and the country right now brings stress as well. Then I'm going to share some strategies for resilience. And resilience is the ability to keep going when things are difficult. It's the ability to, what we call, bounce back. It doesn't mean we ignore our problems or our feelings. It means that we can become stronger and keep moving forward. So I'm going to share some resilience strategies after I share this stress scale. So on this scale, there are items ranging from 11 points to 100 points. And what you're supposed to do with it is you mark the things that have happened in your life during the previous year. So you think about the entire last 12 months. And you mark the different things on here. And when you add up your total score in the end, if you have 150 points or fewer, then you have a relatively low amount of life change and low susceptibility to stress-induced health breakdown. From 150 to 300 points, that suggests a 50% chance of a major health issue in the next couple of years. And if your score is 300 points or more, it raises the odds to about 80%, according to this statistical prediction model that they're referencing. I have this stress inventory linked on my website in the podcast notes. Please feel free to look it over. It's not intended to diagnose any problems. It's really more for awareness that maybe some stress-related strategies could be helpful, so reducing stress. So I'm going to start at the lowest, and I'm going to go up to the highest. And the highest one is death of a spouse, and it's worth 100 points on this scale. So starting at the very bottom with the 11 point in the category of everything 30 and under, I'm going to read all of these from the bottom up. So here we go. First is minor violations of the law, like a traffic ticket, jaywalking, disturbing the peace, etc. The next one right above that is a major holiday. Above that, we've got vacation, and then major change in eating habits, like a lot more or a lot less food intake, or very different meal hours or surroundings. And just above that, we've got major change in number of family get-togethers. We've also got major change in sleeping habits, like a lot more sleep or a lot less sleep than usual. And next is taking on a loan, like car, TV, freezer, house. We've got major change in social activities, like clubs, movies, visiting, etc. Major change in church activity, like a lot more or less than usual. We've got major change in usual type and or amount of recreation. Changing to a new school. Changing to a new residence. Now, changing to a new residence is 20 points. So everything I've just read is between 11 and 20 points somewhere on that scale. Think about how many of those things that might by themselves be fairly minimal, but how many together have you experienced in just in the last few months, but also over the last year? And you might begin to see the impact of stress in your life. So above that, we've got major changing in working hours or working conditions, troubles with the boss, revision of personal habits like your dress, manners, associations, or quitting smoking, major change in living condition, perhaps a new home, remodeling, deteriorating the neighborhood or home or something like that, beginning or ceasing formal schooling, spouse beginning or ceasing work outside of the home, outstanding personal achievement. Now, who would have thought an achievement would bring significant stress more than some of these other things listed? That's interesting. We have in-law troubles, son or daughter leaving home, like marriage, attending college, or join the military, major change in responsibilities at work, like promotion, demotion, etc., and foreclosure on a mortgage or loan, and that's worth 30 points. So those things I just read were in a range of 20 to 30. And next, we've got taking on a mortgage, and above that, major change in the number of arguments with your spouse, either a lot more or a lot less than usual regarding child rearing, personal habits, etc. Changing to a different line of work. Changing to a different line of work. Wow, 36 for that one. And that can be significant for you. Also, we've got death of a close friend. Major change in your financial state, like a lot worse or a lot better than usual. And you know, you may have heard stories of people who have won the lottery and immediately had more troubles than they had prior to that. So that's interesting to note. We've got major business readjustment, gaining a new family member, like birth, adoption, older adult moving in. Kind of wondering if exchange students count in that for a little while. I don't know. Then we've got, for 39 points, sexual difficulties, pregnancy, major change in the health or behavior of a family member, retirement from work, marital reconciliation with your mate, being fired at work, marriage. And marriage is worth 50 points on a scale of 1 to 100. There are only a few above that. So we've got major personal injury or illness, death of a close family member, detention in jail or another institution, marital separation from your mate, divorce, and lastly, at 100 points, death of a spouse. So if you were to go through here and mark all of those and kind of add up those points, you could generally see, have you been under a lot of stress lately? How are things in your life kind of working for you or not working for you? How are things affecting you right now, and have they affected you over the past year? So as you think about stress, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm a certified life coach, and I'm also a professional educator. And the people I tend to serve as a coach and an educator are people who are professionals. I serve a lot of executives and leaders, educators, academics, online students, and parents. And all of these people who I've worked with as a coach and as a teacher have typically wanted to just live with confidence, purpose, fulfillment, and joy. So I've been an educator for 25 years, and I have a doctoral degree in an educational field, and I have experience in higher education leadership, performance management, coaching, research, working with children who have special needs like autism and ADHD. And I believe in practical skills and coaching and strategies and habits that are going to help you create a life and work that you love. Coaching and being coached, I got to be honest, it has completely changed my life over the last few years. It's changed the way I think and the way I operate as a professional and as a human being generally. And I love helping other people discover what motivates them and take steps to achieve their goals. So my approach in coaching people is holistic. It includes a lot of areas, but holistic means that we're thinking about all of you, not just the guy or gal who shows up at work, not just the person you are at home, not just the person you are privately. So holistic is all of you, because all of you shows up in all of those places. This includes positive psychology, neuroscience, imagery, emotional intelligence, NLP, body wellness, analyzing, goal setting, planning, educational theory, theories of andragogy, values, strengths, and accountability strategies. So this approach makes professional growth possible, but more importantly, it also helps you develop your purpose and your confidence in every area. So basically, as a coach, I try to be in your corner to help you navigate challenges, overcome obstacles, and blossom through your strengths in life, relationships, work, and career. And lately, I have thought a lot about resilience and bouncing back and emotional strength and being able to handle really tough things that are coming at people. I've coached a lot of folks that really just want to harness their emotions a little more clearly, or they want to be able to express themselves a little more clearly. These are all things that can help everyone. I would say that as a coach, I tend to be practical, direct, and encouraging and supportive. And I'm very happy to share with you strategies in this podcast each week, and I hope you find them helpful. So some of these stress-relieving strategies really are useful. I used to think that when I heard these tips and ideas that they wouldn't really reduce stress effectively. Like, oh, sure, everyone says you should exercise. Yep, everyone says you should get more sleep. But the truth is, when your brain is filled with worry or anxiety or stress, that kind of input or the cycle that's going through wants you to take action. And there really isn't an action you can take immediately to resolve worry, stress, and anxiety. But the actions you can take are things like moving physically, getting more sleep, connecting with people, and so forth. So these things that I'm going to share as stress-relieving self-care strategies really do bring us back into balance. They give us more resilience emotionally and physically, and they help us to come back at problems and see things a lot more clearly, so we're able to handle what life throws at us. So there are 6 different areas that I include in my suggestions for self-care when I'm coaching folks, and I want to share these 6 with you. So the first one is emotional. This is one that's often overlooked and very difficult for us to recognize and tap into at different times. The second one is physical. The third one is spiritual. And fourth, social. Fifth is mental or intellectual. Some people refer to this as your cognitive area. And lastly, creative. Now, when I first made this list, I called that musical because I'm a big fan of what I created, and it's a strategy called music coaching. Sort of a little bit like music therapy, only it's just using music, like recorded music, as a tool to put your brain in a certain state of mind that you'd like to be in. So musical or creative could be that 6th area, either one. So the first suggestion I have is for each of these 6 areas, try to list 1 or 2 things that you personally are okay doing to help yourself come back into touch with your most authentic self. So when we're out of touch, we can kind of tell because we feel a little bit frustrated or angry a lot. We might feel resistance to people, ideas, or situations. And when we bring ourselves back in alignment, we can have a more clear vision and clearer direction of where we're going. We can lean on this plan for motivation to persevere against the odds. And we can also kind of list these things and put them somewhere like on the bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator, wherever you're going to see them a lot, to really be a go-to to kind of check in and see, like, do I need to do one of these things to help myself reconnect with myself? So the first thing is self-care and wellness strategies. And secondly, we call this, the Arbinger Institute calls this an out-of-the-box space. If you can physically be or close your mind and imagine and mentally be in a location where you typically would feel open, authentic, whole, and fully present, taking a few moments to just breathe and quietly think of that place or be in that place can really help you get in touch with and more in tune with yourself and come back into the place you want to be in your heart and in your mind. And then the last suggestion for stress management is actually the idea of optimism. Optimism just means that we would believe that every situation will eventually have a positive outcome. Failure really is a necessary step on the way to success in many places and many processes we'll go through. When I believe that a situation will eventually have a positive outcome, it helps me to keep showing up. It helps me to keep at it, keep trying, to stay the course, to really not give up on people and situations. So I believe in optimism. I don't think it blinds us. I think healthy recognition of reality is also helpful. But self-care, out-of-the-box spaces, and optimism are the three strategies I share with you today to help with your stress management. So just a few additional suggestions in case you're wondering what to connect here. In the emotional category, some ideas are that we could have a journal exercise where we're sort of writing about how we feel about the day. When we experience a difficult emotion, that's particularly helpful to think about it and to really feel it and let the feelings happen while they're occurring. We can have a verbal check-in with somebody. We can free write or write down our thoughts, then throw them away if we don't want anyone to read them, or keep them in a journal. We can make music, play the piano, sing, create art, write poetry, or blog. These are all emotional recognition and expression strategies that can help reduce stress. And of course, if you're going to use the music strategy, I always encourage picking music that's focused on what you want to feel, so that it's kind of driving you forward instead of holding you in a pattern. Second, physical. So this area, it's really wise to get enough sleep each night. And of course, it's up to you to decide what that is. The experts say between 7 and 8 hours of sleep every night. I myself have started wearing earplugs in my ears a lot of times when I'm sleeping to keep out noises in the house. I have a husband and son, and sometimes there's just a lot of noise. So that helps me to get more sleep. And also, I put those eye shades over my eyes, and I actually wear that sleeping mask over my eyes many nights, and it also helps it to seem darker and helps me to get more sleep. So also in the physical area, we have exercising. You could go for a walk, 20 or 30 minutes, and really be thinking about the area you're walking in, looking around, feeling the air, taking in the present sounds and smells, etc. Also in physical, we've got the eat energizing foods, something healthy like fruit or vegetables, things that are going to fuel you. Spiritual, one could have a gratitude journal, writing about what you already have that you already want and appreciate in your life. Meaning and purpose would be about reading spiritual books, scriptures, talks, other materials that promote spiritual areas that you care about. You could pray or meditate, attend a church worship or temple. Even some groups are doing this online, so that's something you might check out. Social, seek opportunities to recharge socially. And even if you're introverted and don't like large groups, you might find one or two people that you can just chat with. Maybe call a friend or family member just to visit with them. join a group of people like you that you could meet with, whether it's asynchronous or at the same time by video. It could be a church group, a service group, a Facebook group, a hobby group. Maybe you might want to get to know your neighbors. That could also bring you some social connection. In the mental or intellectual or cognitive area, whatever you choose to call it, where do you exercise your critical thinking skills? For many people, taking a class is actually kind of stressful because it takes a lot of work. But there are classes in hobby areas or things you might actually really connect with. If you're not focused on furthering your education per se, I would suggest a class in an area of interest. Ballroom dancing would be a lot of fun once the pandemic is over and we're actually able to get close to people. But if we're not, there's something we could learn online in almost every field out there. It could be a live class or an online class, or maybe you'll find a book or a magazine about a topic of interest to kind of exercise those. And a lot of people like games like Sudoku or crossword puzzles or things like that, which can definitely get your mental muscles working. And then lastly, in the creative area, I already mentioned making music, playing the piano, singing, creating art, writing poetry, or blogging. But beyond that, you might consider other things you can do to truly create. Maybe you want to create beauty in your home, and so decluttering is a way of creating space. Maybe you want to create art, and you're going to do some painting or drawing or learn how to do those things. Whatever it is you choose for self-care and stress relief in these six areas, I encourage you to start small so that it's not overly frustrating. And then also to pat yourself on the back, metaphorically speaking, and really feel great about any efforts you make to address these areas, even just one thing. It can really help you to minimize stress and be able to get through the next big challenge that comes along. Thank you for joining me on this discussion about stress. I'm looking over this stress scale or this rating inventory that I mentioned. Again, you can find it on my website, so check it out. And also talking about strategies for six areas of self-care that can really help bring you back to who you really feel like you are and feeling well again. And then think about out-of-the-box spaces, maybe places that help you feel more connected and fully present. And lastly, optimism. Believe that every situation will eventually have a positive outcome. And failure is a necessary step on the way to success. Sometimes that alone can really be encouraging. Well, thanks for hanging in there for this podcast today. I appreciate you listening and also being part of this community. I hope that you'll send me your ideas, thoughts, or suggestions if you find I've missed something in the dialogue or you'd like me to feature a specific topic in the next time. And I look forward to hearing from you soon.
This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.